عن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا حكم الحاكم فاجتهد ثم أصاب فله أجران وإذا حكم واجتهد فأخطأ فله أجر متفق عليه. حضرت عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنه narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that when a judge passes judgment, making every effort to be correct, and then he reaches the correct decision, he receives two rewards. And when he passes judgment, making every effort to be correct, and he reaches an incorrect decision, he receives one reward. What is meant by this, by way a competent, knowledgeable judge is applying his mind, applying his knowledge to make the judgment. And sometimes he'll get the ruling right, sometimes he'll get the ruling wrong. But where he did whatever was necessary, he followed the necessary protocols in terms of giving judgment, he did whatever was necessary, he heard the case properly, he pondered over it, where he needed to discuss and take further advice, he took. So whatever was necessary, he took the necessary steps, he was patient in doing what he needed to do, and then he gave judgment. So here the hadith is teaching us, because he went through all the steps and he gave the judgment and he was correct, he'll get two rewards. One is for getting the judgment right, and one is for the effort that he took. And then you'll get a situation where it happens, everyone is a human being, is an insan, so it doesn't mean that they always get the judgment right. So sometimes he can get the judgment wrong, but he's still knowledgeable, competent, took all the effort, took all the necessary steps to make that effort to get the judgment, get the correct judgment, but he was wrong. So here also this person won't be at a loss. Why it's necessary to know this? Otherwise you won't get anybody that will be a judge at all. Everyone will feel that if I make a mistake, I'm going to get guna. So why should I be a judge? So here it is showing that if you did what was necessary, then you shouldn't worry, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still reward you. So one other thing that we learn from this hadith is that when a person does whatever is necessary for him to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at his action. Allah Pak doesn't look at the outcome. Outcome is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us to do, we must do what we do. There's one incident of Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Dayasab, Damat Barakatuhum, from Marlborough. So he was explaining that on one occasion, there was one person that had come and told him that, you know, you've got a small Jamaat Khana here, I heard you're planning to build a masjid. So he said, true. He said, do me a favor, come and see me, but you come and see me alone. In other words, that person wanted to give some money. So Mawlana felt that, you know what, it's not right for one person from the committee to go and collect the money. So he told all his committee members, you'll come and we'll go to this person. So when he went to the person, and this person had a shoebox day of money, so he said, I told you to come alone, why did you come with all these people? So then he explained why he came. So the person accepted that. So then this person told him, he said, this person told me something very nice, very nice he told me. He said, always remember something, that don't lose hope when you see the size of a project, or don't lose hope when you have to look at the outcome, how are we going to reach there? All you need to do is take the first step and leave the outcome to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The outcome is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How He finishes it, that is in His prerogative. He will do it, He will make it happen. Our duty and our stance is, we must just take the first step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the rest. So this is what this hadith is teaching us. So anyway, he says, very shortly after, when they looked at the project, how are they going to put up a big masjid? It looks so difficult. But he said, very shortly after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that it completed, and it completed so nicely. In other words, we just took the first step. This brother told us, from Norway, come see us. We went to see him, he gave it. And this was the advice he gave, that you start the project. Don't wait for everything to happen and then you start. You start before everything can happen, Allah Pak will finish it. So this is how a mu'min thinks, this is how a believer thinks. So one thing we learn from this hadith is, we do what is necessary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it completes or not, whether the judgment in this case is right or wrong, doesn't matter. You did what you needed to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the rest. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الحمى من فيح جهنم فأبردوها بالماء متفق عليه. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said fever is from the intense heat of Jahannam, so cool it down with water. Now ulama give you explanation what is meant by this hadith. They say that not all fever is good to cool it down with water. Some fever, if you happen to cool it down with water, it makes a person's condition. If you're using cold water to cool a person down, then it can make his health condition worse. So ulama give few explanations to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here. One explanation that is given is, what is meant by this is a person should read and make dham. You know, you make dham, you sprinkle a little, read, blow on the water, and blow and sprinkle some water on the person. This is what is meant by this hadith. Other explanation that ulama give here, Rasulullah ﷺ saying, abriduha bil ma, cool it down with water. What is meant is that give water in sadaqah on behalf of the sick person. Or the sick person can make arrangement for water to be given on his behalf. So what is actually meant here is abriduha bil ma, cool it down with water. Cool that fever, that sickness that you got by giving sadaqah. This is another explanation. But the most acceptable explanation that the ulama give under this is that in places, in countries where it's very, very hot, like the Middle East countries, etc., and when a person gets fever, then the fever also gets very intense. Then the good method of cooling down this fever is actually cooling it down with water. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, abriduha bil ma, cool that fever down with water. So this is different explanations ulama give, and many people found that ilaj also. Sometimes the person thinks when he got fever, I'm feeling cold, I need to cover myself up more and go more into the blankets and stay more warm. He doesn't realize that actually he's increasing the fever by doing that. When a person has got fever, ideally he should try and keep himself cool. Not that the air must be cold that he's breathing, the air that he's breathing should be warm, but the body itself should be cool. One last hadith. وعنها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من مات وعليه صوم صام عنه وليه متفق عليه. Had Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if one who passes away has outstanding fast, his next of kin should fast on his behalf. One who passed away and he has outstanding fast, qaza fast, then his next of kin should fast on his behalf. Now this is a good example of why we need to do hadith and learn hadith under those people that actually learnt it from the other ulama who have learnt it from their ustad, etc. Otherwise, if a person just sees this hadith outwardly, he'll think that one way of fulfilling a person's qazas is fasting on their behalf. So here there is three mazahib that say that what is meant by this is not actually fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such. Person has got qaza namaz, can somebody else read his qaza namaz for him? Somebody else can't read his qaza namaz. So the three mazahib, the Shafi'iyah, the Malikiyah and the Hanafiyah, meaning the Ahnaf, we say no, somebody can't fast on your behalf, like a person can't make qaza namaz on your behalf, somebody else can't fast on your behalf. So what is meant by what is meant when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that sawma anhu waliyuhu, that his next of kin should fast on his behalf, is he should give fidya on his behalf. Person now passed away. Now he's got qaza fast, what to do? Next of kin, what they should do? Give fidya on his behalf. So what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to is giving fidya. Another explanation that the ulama give for this hadith now has been abrogated. In other words, you can't do any action on behalf of somebody else. That person ought to have done, but you can give some mali. You can give some mali exchange, some wealth you can give for that amounts that the person have left out in terms of fasting, in terms of his zakat that he hasn't paid, you can try and fulfill it. Or for that salat that he has missed, you can fulfill it in terms of monetary value. But the Hanabila, Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, says that no, because of this specific hadith, only in this specific scenario that fasting can be done on behalf of a person that has passed away, and now you can fast on his behalf. Look how beautifully the different a'imma, the different imams of hadith, they take a hadith, they look at it, and they explain it. So this gives us a good understanding. Now, if a person just reads it outwardly, he may not even know, and he thinks that he's discharged the qaza on behalf of somebody else just by fasting. He doesn't know the explanations. So therefore, it is very, very important when it comes to hadith, when it comes to tafsir of Quran, we have to learn it under those people that have learnt it under somebody else. May Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.